The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you know our problems and our weaknesses better than we ourselves. In your love and by your power, help us in our confusion, and in spite of our weakness, make us firm in faith. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
Reading from the prophet Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgression and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray Psalm 119 responsively. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, that I will observe it to the end.
Lead
me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Turn my heart to your decrees, and not to self-esteem.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways.
Confirm your fear, sir, with your promise, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good.
See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is a reading from the Romans, the 13th chapter. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is. How is it now the moment for you to wake from sleep? For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples,
If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of the two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let that one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Don't you just love warning labels? I was watching a commercial last week on television for a new sleep aid, some kind of medication, and it gave all the wonderful things about this sleeping pill. And then they started in with the warnings, and one of the warnings is, warning, this drug causes drowsiness. Get that, a sleeping pill that causes drowsiness, we better be warned about that. Our candle lighter here has a warning sticker on it. Extremely flammable, a lighter that has flames. Our toner for the coffee machine has a label on it that says, not for human consumption. I mean, even if I'm really, really hungry, my head doesn't go to coffee toner. You know, some labels we just don't pay attention to. My 5-year-old nephew got a scooter for his birthday when we were in South Dakota. Keegan got this little scooter, and there's a warning label on it. And the label says, warning, this toy moves when in use. It's a scooter. Imagine that.
Some warning
labels need to be paid attention to. We have warning labels on cigarettes, on alcohol, on diet soda. We have warning labels on almost everything that has a label. There is a warning. We also get warnings in other ways. I mean, we've been warned for years about global warming and what's going to happen when the ocean gets warmer and warmer. We have been warned for years that we should try to limit our gasoline consumption, use smaller cars, alternate fuels, maybe the storms of this last year and $3 a gallon gas will get our attention. Maybe we'll pay attention a little bit more. Yesterday, they were paying $6 a gallon for gas in Atlanta, in Georgia, where they're getting the gasoline from the refineries and in the South. That gas is going up very fast. We're kind of used to $3 a gallon. $6. Maybe we'll pay attention to the warnings that we've had. I think the readings in today's lectionary, the gospel and the other readings, have an urgency. There's warnings in those readings. There's warnings about how to live together. There's instruction as well as warning. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't pay attention to the instruction manuals any more than I pay attention to the warnings. But this gospel, these warnings, these instructions should be heeded. In our first reading, we hear this prophetic call from God to Ezekiel. Earlier in the chapter, God is saying that watchmen have been selected to watch and to warn. Their job is to warn the community warn the congregation when they get too far off, when they get close to the edge. The sentinel's job is to warn them. It's dangerous out there. Come back. Their job is to warn the city when they see an advancing warrior, to warn them about that. When I read these readings, I couldn't help but think of the lifeguards up and down the beach. The lifeguards sitting in their high tower, watching and warning, blowing their whistle to warn the swimmer that they're too far out to come back to safety, warning the surfer that they're getting over into the swim zone. There's danger. There's possibility of accident and injury when you don't pay attention to the warning. The warning that God was saying to the prophet is that you are responsible. You cannot fall asleep on the job. You have to get your warning heard. People need to have that warning so that they don't get too far lost, too far gone. They need to be protected, to be brought into the territory. There's a sense of urgency and warning in Paul's letter to the Romans, too. He writes, "For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." He tells us to love because that's the way that the law is fulfilled. It's the work of light. Love is our work. It's our job. It's our responsibility. And then we have this gospel passage that carries a warning too. Maybe more of a promise than a warning. "Truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." What a great warning. We're not left alone. We're not left alone in our needs and our concerns. We're not left alone to work out our relationships. We're not left alone to work out the difficulties of our life. Jesus warns us, "I'm going to be with you. I am with you." We are not alone. The Lord Jesus gives us that promise that he is with us. But more than a warning, Matthew's gospel is like an instruction book for us, a manual of instruction for the community of believers. Excuse me. The verses that we read today, Jesus is telling the church how they should deal with their problems. In the light of love, they are to come to agreement. They're to work things out. He's not talking about world problems. He's talking about a relationship within the church. Problems within the church. The fact that this section is even in Scripture tells us that Jesus must not have didn't think, that the church was perfect or was going to be perfect. Or in that first Christian community, that early church, when the gospel was being put together, was not perfect. If it was perfect, Matthew wouldn't have needed to tell us how to work out problems. So the fact that we're not perfect shouldn't be any surprise to us. The church has never been perfect from the very beginning, and we can't expect our church to be perfect either. Believers sometimes don't get along. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye. Last week we heard the gospel, Jesus and Peter disagreeing about what was going to happen in Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples didn't always see eye to eye. Matthew's gospel does not suggest that the church will be a place of beautiful thoughts and perfect saints and calm weather all the time. The church is, we are sinful people, and there's always a potential for stormy weather. The important thing is, how do we respond to that stormy weather? How do we respond to problems and disagreements in the church? Tomorrow's Labor Day. When I was a kid, I thought Labor Day, it was called Labor Day because it was the day before school started and we were going to have to labor again. So it was Labor Day. It made sense to me. I didn't realize that it was a day to honor the working class. And even today, we all take advantage of that three-day weekend, whether we're laborers or not. This is a good gospel for Labor Day weekend because it talks about hard work, what hard work relationships are, hard work about being in relationship with others, especially with others who are a pain in the neck. I read this translation or these verses in a book that Eugene Peterson wrote. Eugene Peterson was a Presbyterian minister who decided that people weren't reading the Bible enough. So he took the task to himself to write the Bible over again in his own words, in situations and language that we could all understand. And this is how he translates those verses that we just read from The Message. If a person hurts you, tell him about it, and then work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses keeps everything honest. And then try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, well, you'll just have to start over from scratch again and confront him with the need for forgiveness, or for repentance, and offer again God's forgiving love. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is yes in heaven, and no on earth is no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. That's from The Message. Love is hard work. Relationships are hard work. Every day is Labor Day as far as relationships are concerned. Has anyone ever had to work on a relationship? I'm the only one? I'm the only one that's ever had to work on a relationship? Yeah. We're human people, sinful people. Being in relationship is hard work. And Matthew gives us a pattern for working out a relationship in love, to transform a possible enemy into a likely friend. We are challenged by this reading to put into our daily work our relationships and keeping our eye on Jesus while we do it. Love is hard work. It could be the hardest work that we ever undertake. And we who are the baptized children of God that we are, this is the work that we're called to do, to love others and to work at our relationships. Some relationships are meant for a long time. Good friends, spouses, neighbors. Those relationships we need to work on, and it's hard work. Some relationships are short term, but they're hard work too. We were at the concert the other night. Don was sitting here, me here, Michael over here. We're outside at the sitting on the grass, and there was a woman next to Don on her blanket, listening to the concert, enjoying the concert, fell asleep and started to snore, loud snoring that caused all the people around, turning around, people looking, kind of laughing a little bit at first. This continued And it got louder, and people are, now they're, no, this is going to be a short-term relationship, but we need to do something in love. Finally, a woman came over and got down by her, kind of rubbed her back a little bit and said, you're missing the concert. She woke up, and so it was fine. Some relationships don't need to last a long time, but they're still hard work. Some relationships are a lot harder than others. Matthew calls us to work at our relationships in love with keeping our eyes on Jesus, to try and try and try again. Relationships in the community are broken, and Matthew says, keep trying. Pay particular attention to the end of verse 17. If the offender refuses to listen, let such a one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. This is not about exclusion. This is not about excommunication. This is about inclusion and forgiveness. Think about Jesus says, treat the person who won't be in this relationship with you, treat them like a tax collector or a Gentile. So look at how Jesus treated tax collectors and Gentiles. His whole ministry was about going out and getting them. He reached out particularly to the sinners and to the tax collectors. After the resurrection, he sends the apostles, the disciples, to the all nations, Gentiles included. Specifically, go and get those people. If we treat people like tax collectors and Gentiles, we make a special effort at praying for them, at inviting them, at encouraging them to be in a relationship with the church and with Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did. Our encouragement is not to shun, but to include. Not to exclude, but to forgive and bring in, to treat people like Jesus did by bringing them in. This isn't about exclusion, it's about forgiveness. Love is indeed hard work, and this is the work that we must labor at every day. We're not in this work alone, though. We are yoked to Jesus Christ. We have that warning, that promise. I am with you. I will be with you in this work. It's hard work, but our shoulders are in the yoke with Jesus Christ, who works with us at those relationships. Some of the hardest work that we do is in relationships. But the good news is that even in those particularly difficult spots, we know that Jesus is with us in that. We can rely on the power of God that's within us. We are the baptized children of God who have that power within us to bring that person into a relationship with God as well. We are the sinners who have been sought out by God, and through the waters of baptism, we have been reconciled with him. And thanks be to God for this most amazing grace that has been poured out on us. Thanks be to God for this love relationship that we have and that God pulls us in, brings us into that relationship so that we can labor at bringing others to that relationship as well. Every day is Labor Day. A day worth celebrating when it comes to living out God's most amazing grace in the relationships of others, seeking to find others and pull them as well into that grace. I think Christians should come with a warning label. Stamp on our forehead next to that barcode that says, warning. God's power inside. This cross marked, forgiven sinner is likely to display attitudes and activities that will bring others to know the joy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Warning, this person will love you. Have a happy Labor Day.